You are listening to the Wisdom with Trish podcast. This is episode 95, interview with my sister and also singles life coach, Megan Salas. Welcome to Wisdom with Trish. I'm Trish. I'm your host. I'm a mom to six kids. I've been married to my sweetheart for 28 years. And I'm a life coach. But most of all, and why we're all here, is I spent 30 years chronic dieting. Yep, most of my life I've spent trying to be in a smaller body. And this podcast is about my journey to turning to God and trusting Him to not diet anymore. I found a path of health and a path of loving the space I take up in the world. And I'm here now to help other women do the same. So I'm so glad you're going to join me on the journey. All right, here we go. Hey, 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 everyone. Everyone out in podcast land, I hope you're doing amazing. My kids go back to school tomorrow, and tomorrow's my birthday. So this today is a super special podcast. I thought, what little gift do I want to give myself for my birthday? And I thought, I want to bring my sister Megan on and have the most fun podcast I've ever had. So that's what we're going to do. I'm bringing my sister Megan. She's here with us. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Trish. Happy birthday tomorrow. I feel so honored.
Thank you. I was kind of saving you for my 100th episode, but this is better. We're like on what, 95 or something. I don't know. I'll have to think of something different for that, but yeah, I'm so excited that you're on. So some of you, I've chatted about, I have lots of sisters and most of them are life coaches. So Megan is a life coach. And so she has a really amazing view of the world and a really great sense of self-awareness. I think that coaches kind of have that. I think everyone has that, the possibility to have that, but I really enjoy visiting with Megan. And when I'm in a hard place, Megan's someone that I reach out to because she can help me kind of organize my brain. And so I'm excited for us to have a chat today as sisters, but also kind of as coaches too. I think you'll hear some of our coaching in here as we chat and visit today. But so Megan, I want to tell you how Megan came into my life. There were six siblings and Megan wasn't born yet. And my parents were very much done having babies. And I was, I'm quite a bit older than Megan. So when my youngest sibling was 6 years old, would that be right, Megan? Six. My mom had a miscarriage. She got pregnant, was very surprised she got pregnant. I don't even think she was very excited she was pregnant because they were done. But, she told all of us kids and we were all so excited for this baby. And then my mom miscarried that baby at 20 weeks and, or not 20 weeks, at 20 weeks she went in for her ultrasound and she had a condition where there was actually no baby. And it was devastating to our whole family. That's the first time I ever remember really like sobbing and crying and pleading with God that something wasn't true. Like that just was such a horrible time for our family. So after that, my parents kind of came to all of us kids and kind of said, I think we want to have another baby. What do you guys think? And they kind of let us have a family vote because we'd been saving. I don't remember if it was car or for Disneyland or something. Do you know, Megan?
I always thought it was for Disneyland, but mom just told me it was for a car. So it's way less.
They've been saving for something and we'd all been know we were saving. And they just said, but we're going to have a family vote. Should we have a baby or should we buy this car or whatever it was? And we all voted on to have this baby and that baby was Megan. So Megan and I are 13 years apart. I was 13. And so we all mothered and loved on, and she was the best thing that ever happened to our family was to have this little baby. My youngest sibling at the time was 7. And so we hadn't had a baby for a very long time. So it was very special. So Megan's just been the sweet, joyful person in my life for a very long time. When I was a very young mother, she would come over and she was only like seven, and she would hold my little baby and rock my baby. And I would get lots done, and she'd kind of live at my house. And anyway, it's very fun to be the older sibling of a very little sibling. Like, that's very fun. And so we always enjoyed that. And now she does that for my kids still. She loves my kids and has relationships with all my kids. And she's just really awesome that way. So that's kind of how Megan came into my life in a nutshell. So today, Megan and I are going to talk a little bit about, I've written a post about this before, but I just thought it'd be so fascinating to jump on a podcast and have a discussion with her. But Megan and I each have what we would in the past called a trial. And we've come to realize that our trials are very similar, even though you would think maybe they're not. So as you know, everyone that listens to this podcast, I have always tried to change my body. I always thought that living in a smaller body was something that was supposed to be my greatest goal in life. And I've watched other people figure out how to be in smaller bodies. And it's just something that's just always been something I've worked really hard at and I know everything about, but it's something that I seem to not be able to attain for some reason. And that's always been a very sore spot for me. And it's something that through Wisdom with Trish, and the coaching that I've learned to manage my brain about and learned that I live a big, beautiful life in the body I have. So Megan, tell everyone what you would say your trial's been, if we want to call it that, or your thing.
So as Trisha said, I am the youngest of seven, and you know, most of my siblings were married by the time I was, I don't know, like 14, 15, 16. And then my last sibling got married right before my mission. So they've all been married since like 2008. And I'm not. So I'm 34 years old. I've had countless serious relationships. I've been even engaged at one point and we called it off. And so, I think maybe in a different family dynamic, it would feel less like stark, but, just being in the family that we were raised in, even, you know, and you mentioned, I now love on like your kids, like I have six or seven great nieces and nephews, and I have a lot of niece-in-laws and nephews-in-laws, and I'm like the one single token single person in our family. And so just in with our family, it's always felt kind of ostracizing to be the person who's single in a large LDS family that really values coupling young and getting married and having a lot of children. But then also I'm kind of this token single gal in a lot of my friend groups, my high school friends, my college friends. I lived in Boston for a long time, and I'm one of the last few from the Boston friends that hasn't gotten married. And so it's easy to see that as a problem, especially in our culture where I think most people would see it as a problem. Most people are very concerned about your marital status. And if you're married, and if you're not, everyone worries about you. Like I even remember having a conversation with a previous General Relief Society president who was talking to me, and I'm good friends with her daughter. So we were catching up, and with tears in her eyes, she talked about how the general authorities often talk about the single people of the church and how it's just the deepest trial that anyone would have to go through. And I just remember, even at that time, that was like before I was starting to really manage my mind around it, I was like, is this really the worst problem that someone can have, that they're single? Like, it's, I don't know. It's always felt kind of confusing because I have a really great life. I have a great career. I get to travel. I get to do a lot of fun things. My life's really fulfilling. But it has always felt like my singleness is a problem to be solved. So like you said, like, I feel like I know so much about relationships. My career is based around relationships. I've had, you know, one person from my previous job was like, hey, you like saved our marriage with like the tools that you helped us with and the things that you have learned and taught us. And so, you know, same with you. I can help all the people have good relationships, but yet here I am, still single and ready to mingle. Yeah, that's the problem. Singlehood.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that we talk a lot about is how, like, I was listening just today about a woman's story who she was addicted to cocaine or something. And what started her cocaine addiction was she was terrified to be fat. She was terrified to live in a bigger body. And so she learned that if she could take this cocaine, that would manage her weight. And then she, of course, gets this raging cocaine addiction. And so I'm like, yes, because people think the worst thing that could happen to you in your lifetime is to live in a bigger body.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that, like no one wants that. And, you know, and Megan lives in a family where a lot of us are married. And I also live in a family where everyone is very thin. So it very much feels like this problem that when I'm with my family, that it very much is like, how is everybody else in this family so dang thin? And I can't seem to figure it out. And I work on it the most.
Oh yeah. I think that's like, that's the kicker is you're yeah. like, I know more about this topic than it seems like anybody else. And I've worked mm-hmm. harder at it. Like you've had so many diets. I've had so many relationships. It's like, come on, like, can we even catch a freaking break?
Yeah. Well, and it feels like our life's work, right? Like that becomes the life's work. Like if I can just figure this thing out, my life could be better.
Yeah.
And I think that what we've learned through coaching is it's just a lie. It's just not true that happiness doesn't arrive at the other side of a relationship, and happiness doesn't arrive on the other side of a smaller body.
Well, and that's what was interesting is the last few years as we've talked, I would listen to Trish talk about her struggles with her weight. And I would just be like, wait, that's how I feel. And then I would say something and she's like, Megan, I feel the exact same way. And just realizing that like, yeah, we're like the lone person in our family where we feel really ostracized. And then talking to our other sisters, I'll let them share their own things, but we'll talk about something and they're like, oh yeah, I feel like I'm the only one in the family that can't figure this out. Or like, I'm the odd one.
About their thing.
Yeah. About their thing. And I was like, wait, so we all feel that? Like, all of us feel that? Well, okay, it seems a little messed up.
Yeah. Well, and that's something I feel like I've learned is that everyone has something that they pick up and they think is their biggest, hardest thing. And if we can just kind of set it down and analyze it and look at it and go, is it really though? Or is because we think life should be different, it causes us our own suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. And something that, you know, the way we got into life coaching was through like the Life Coach School principles, but also Byron Katie, you know, she asked her four questions and one of them being like, is it true? And the next one being, is it really true? And really taking a look and analyzing that. And I think through our conversations, it kind of helped me open my mind to realizing that like there's other trials in the world and that being single is just one of them. Maybe, you know, it doesn't even have to be one, but it's just, we all experience life in a 50-50 way. I think that's one of the most, what is the word I'm looking for? Just the most comforting things that I've learned through life coaching is that life is 50-50. And that means that like circumstances are 50-50 and that no circumstance has a monopoly on a certain feeling. And so being single, it feels like single people have a monopoly on feeling lonely. And like, that's not true. Like, I talked to so many of my married friends who were like, oh, I feel more lonely in marriage than I ever felt being single. And so the more that we've brought up these topics and been more candid about them, just realizing, for me, I think the big idea that has kind of shook me is that marital status is neutral, just like everything else in life is neutral. And I think for you, it's body set, like bodies are neutral. And, yeah. And we say in the coaching world that everything is neutral, but I think we kind of hold on to a few things and we're like, well, but
except this one.
It would actually be a little bit better if you lost some weight or you were partnered with someone. That is actually better for everyone. And so for us being able to be like, maybe it's not. And if it's not, then what does that mean about my life?
Yeah. Well, and I even love to like challenge those thoughts in a way, like, you know, I'm living in a bigger body. And I think, and if I was in a certain culture, this body would be like amazing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, this is the body you have, but I don't live in that culture. But you know what I mean? Like, so it shows you that bodies are neutral because we have so many thoughts about it. Like, there are many women who would love to be my size.
Yeah.
Right. And then we also know when people are living in smaller bodies, they feel awful about their bodies.
No, yeah.
So it's so not neutral. And then that's the same with singlehood. Like, you being 34 and single, in some people's minds outside of our culture, that means nothing. They're like, well, of course you're single. You're 34. Why would you be married yet?
I lived in Boston for 4 years and I felt like a kid. I moved to 24. I left Provo, Utah with like BYU culture. And I felt like a grandma being single at 24. And then I moved to Boston and all of a sudden I was like 18 again. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, you're so young. And then I moved back to Utah at 29 and I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm like ancient, but like, I've always been the same person. It's just my thoughts about myself and the, like, the invitation that others gave me to think the way they thought changed. And that kind of changed my perception as well. But all along, it just is like, it's neutral.
Yeah. Tell everybody about, before we got on the call, you were telling me about a post that I wrote that you're like, wow, I could interchange everything she's saying about what I struggle.
Oh yeah. There was a post to you. I don't know when it was, sometime last year that you talked about, like, when was the first time that you kind of realized that your body was wrong. And you talked about being in the Music Man with all of the family and you had lost some weight and you were able to get into this cute red dress and then everyone was complimenting you and they were able to, everyone was complimenting you on like losing weight and you just realized like, oh, people like me better in a smaller body. This is like more acceptable. This is more comfortable for people. And as I read that post, I haven't had that struggle with weight in that way. But I did think back to like when I was engaged and everyone just was so relieved and everyone, and potentially that came from the way that I talked about singlehood too. I was also relieved. I was like, whoo, okay. Oh, this is good. I mean, God is a God of last seconds. I'm glad he finally came through. Like I also like, I was like being saved from experience that I didn't want to be having anymore. So I'm sure some people were just responding to that. But, and then when we decided to postpone and then eventually just completely call off the wedding, I felt so much shame and like I couldn't get it right. Like everyone else was getting this thing right and I couldn't do it. And then I felt so uncomfortable going to family events because I was like the old aunt who was single by herself, who somehow chose that it would be a good idea to be Wendy from Peter Pan. So I also looked like a 16-year-old girl while my like nieces have their boyfriends there and like everyone's figured it out but me. And like, it's so uncomfortable. And then when like I started dating again and I had a boyfriend, it felt like everyone got to breathe again and like, okay, whew, Megan's got someone. Okay, well, we're going to shoot for this guy. And then, yeah, I've gone through like 3 or 4 boyfriends since that engagement. And every time it's this cycle of like people getting to feel relief and like, I'm going to be taken care of and I'm going to get to be married and we all get to have our dreams come true around Megan's life. And then I break the news that we broke up and then, you know, we're all devastated. And I think it's probably been exhausting for you your whole life to experience that with weight loss and weight gain, especially like you were like a rock star dieter. And so you yo-yoed pretty awesome with your diet, depending on which diet you had. And so to have that same kind of, I've had like 15 relationships. So, you know, you probably had 15 diets and we both get to experience people feeling really happy for us and then being really worried. And
oh, exactly. Well, and even like for me, like, because my love language is words of affirmation, that addiction to diet, for me, it was an addiction I'm learning to wanting to constantly shrink my body and get the addiction came from, the hit came from people praising the weight loss.
Yeah.
Like that would feed something in my soul. And so, and then I, in my mind, I'm okay with everybody. Every time I could get the weight off, now everybody thinks I'm okay. And I remember, there are so many times, and this still happens to me, and I have to manage my mind around it. But like, if I'm coming to Utah, you know, because remember everybody, I live in Texas and my whole family's mostly in Utah. So when I come home for something, and my body's bigger, like in my mind, that is a concern for everyone. And honestly, I think talking with you, I don't know that anyone's paying attention. Like I think they are.
No, we're just happy to see you.
And I think that's similar with boyfriend. I think you think we're all relieved, but for most of us, we're just like, oh, this is the next guy we get to love. That's great. Like we're not all hanging our hearts on whether something's going to work out for Megan. I hope you don't feel less loved by that. But
I was just talking to our other sister and we were at her house and I was just saying how, like, you know, if I don't manage my mind, even the simplest things can be triggering. And in the past have been really triggering. And, you know, now that we've like found thought work and we figure out that our thoughts create our feelings and that no one else is doing that for us, I've been able to get a lot better at it. But just even being at a family event and mom being like, I'm a photographer, and someone being like, Megan, can you take a picture of all the families? And then I'm just like by myself, or at our dad's funeral when mom's like, okay, I need to take a picture with all the families. And then she like forgets to take a picture with me. And I like lose my mind in front of everyone. I'm just like sobbing because I'm feeling sorry for myself that I'm single. Or like, even just as simple as like writing names on all the cups at a family event and everyone has a stack of cups and mine's by myself. Like those little things that I think probably nobody notices, but I feel like I'm like on a spotlight. And I think the older I've gotten and like having conversations with you and with other people, like we all have our thing that feels like we're being spotlighted, where everyone's staring at us and is like, oh, you still don't have that. You still haven't figured that out. You don't know how to do that yet. And no one is. We're all so like consumed with our own stuff that I think we're not really paying attention to anybody. But
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, yeah. Yeah. So let's chat a little bit about, you know, we started figuring out together, like this stuff's the same. and as we did that, we keep saying thought work. Like, how would you explain when you say thought work? Like, how has thought work blessed you so that you get to be single and you actually can look at it as your superpower and not your greatest challenge?
So, you know, that we work off the model a lot in our coaching. So the model is that we have a circumstance, and all circumstances on their own without any thoughts about them are completely neutral, even like death or like other things that we're kind of like, no, everyone agrees this is bad or this is good. Like, we don't know, because not everyone in the world would agree with that. And then we have our thoughts about that. And that's what creates the meaning that we give any circumstance. And then from our thoughts, our feelings are created. And then from our feelings, that's when, you know, we either create action or inaction. And then from those things, we get the results in our lives. So being able to break everything down to this model and put like marital status in the circumstance line, and really getting to a point where I believe that it's neutral. And I have so much evidence for that, because like you said, I see people who are married and they're blissful and so happy. And then I see people who are married and they're absolutely miserable. And then there are single people in the world, and it kind of seems like all of them, when you're, when that's what you're looking for, is that everyone's miserable. But honestly, there's so many single people that are so happy, and that is their preference. And so being able to see that, like, oh, there's happiness and sadness on both sides. And then also from that, I said it earlier, but from that model, having this aha moment of realizing that, you know, the circumstance line, that's neutral, but then everything else, like, that's on us. And like, we get to decide how we feel about that. And also, feelings don't come from circumstances. They come from our thoughts. So that's why you can be lonely in a marriage. You can be lonely in singlehood, or you can be really happy or really sad in any size of body. Because even, you know, even with body stuff, I resonate with things that you say, but I'm like, oh, I shouldn't, because I've lived in a fairly small, I don't even know how you want to determine that, body, but like, I still have drama about that too. And so it's like, even weight size, like, it doesn't matter. Like, we all create our thoughts around our bodies and marriage and careers and money and all the things. And that all is like optional. And I think when I realized that on either side of marriage is going to be a 50-50 experience, it's going to be 50% amazing and 50% not awesome, it's opened me up to being more okay with just like the life experience I get to have, and not needing it to be a certain thing, and to just being able to like accept it and love it and be like, I'm going to have a 50-50 experience no matter what. So what is the experience that God wants me to have right now? And seeing the purpose in it. And like, when I've been able to just love it, like speak love into that space that I've spent putting so much like fear and stress and rejection and all of that, like lack of acceptance, I get to see my life in such a different and more beautiful way. Like, this last Christmas season, you know, our father passed away on Christmas Eve, and then his birthday's New Year's Eve. And I think for a lot of people, you know, mixing in death with this too, I think we have similar ideas about death. This is also something that people feel so sad about, but also realizing like, death goes in the circumstance line. And how do I want to feel about it? How do I want to feel about my dad dying on Christmas Eve? And so many people who are so kind and thoughtful have been so concerned, and reach out, and they're like, our prayers are with you. And they're really sad. And they're like, oh, that must be so terrible that your dad died on that day. And I'm like, I actually kind of love it. It feels really special. It feels like he was suffering for so long, and then he got to have this gift of not suffering anymore. And then every Christmas Eve, I now get to spend time thinking about our dad. Mm-hmm. And same with singlehood, of like, singlehood at Christmas. I think a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about that, and it feels really terrible and sad. And like, some people feel embarrassed. There's a lot of emotions that people have about it. But this Christmas season, I've been single and I loved it so much. I got to spend quality time with each of my like siblings' families. I got to spend quality time with our mom. I think we watched like 7 Hallmark movies. So fun. And like, I just was like, all this stuff could have been happening, but if I wasn't managing my mind around all of this, I wouldn't have seen it. I wouldn't have seen it for what it was. I would have been like, oh, I'm just like the single girl that's invited to my family because they're feeling bad for me. Like, I would be having so many thoughts about it that would be keeping me from seeing like the beauty in it. And it's just
what I love what you just said was about, your circumstance didn't change this Christmas. You're still single.
Oh yeah.
But you totally got to choose what you thought about it. And then that creates new feelings. So, I mean, it's literally a game changer.
Well, it's just been so fun to lean into like what's awesome about it. And my life coach, who's amazing, we were having a conversation one time and she was just saying how, you know, she went from single, like coaching one-on-one clients to coaching group clients and that experience for her. And she was like, you know, when I was teaching one-on-one clients, I had to decide all the reasons why it was amazing that I was doing one-on-one coaching. She's like, and then when I decided to do group coaching, I had to kind of let that all go. And I had to decide what was going to be amazing about group coaching. And she's like, for a while, I felt like I was lying. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't know how to turn.
Everybody has a phone. No worries. Keep going.
I turn notifications on any of my devices. And so she was like, oh, I've lost my train of thought. Group coaching. So she was just like, oh, I felt like maybe a hypocrite or something. She's like, but I just get to decide that that's like amazing. And the rest of it is, I get to decide that this is amazing no matter what. And so when she was talking about that, I was like, oh my gosh, I could use that same kind of like thought process with being single. And like, when I'm single, I can decide like, I love being single and being single is the best. And then if I happen to get in a relationship, I get to lean on that and think about all the reasons why that's so amazing. And it's not being hypocritical. It's just like getting to love what you get.
Yeah.
And that's been really, we probably had that conversation maybe a year ago and I've loved that. Cause since then I've been in relationships and I've been single and each time I get to be like, okay, and now this is my new favorite thing. Mm-hmm. And then I get to look for all the evidence for that.
Yeah. So powerful. Yeah. Well, and I love too that like Megan's on the podcast today talking about being single, but literally y'all, whatever thing you struggle with right now, maybe you're in a really hard marriage. Like it is available to you to just find love in that marriage and to do some thought work around that marriage, like, or whatever it is, or you have a hard relationship with a child, or you have always thought you should be doing this or that, and you're not doing it. Like what's causing your misery is literally your thoughts and not that circumstance. And I think that's what Megan's trying to share is she's like, I'm still single, but it's available to me that it can be amazing. I still live in a bigger body and my life is still 50-50 in a bigger body. And I can waste a lot of time thinking that should be different, or I can embrace what is and decide what I can love about this bigger body.
When I look at my sister who's had all these struggles and I just see like all the women that she's already helped and all the women she's going to help, maybe some men, we can sprinkle them in too, around this. And I think some parts of our life, we experience these things so that we can then create kind of like a guidebook for other people to help them get through it as well. And I think that's so beautiful. And like, I look at my engagement that ended, I was absolutely devastated and heartbroken over that. But like, it's led me to where I'm at now, where I get to sit across from people who are like absolutely heartbroken. And I get to have the confidence and like trust and like the skill set to help them and the confidence to know that they're going to get through it and they're going to be totally fine. And that's just like the beautiful part of life, is that like these things we go through that feel hard can actually be what connects us to other people and creates beauty. Rather than like, I think in the past we felt really ostracized and like isolated in these experiences. Like it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. All right. So some people might be listening and thinking, oh my goodness, I might need Megan to coach me because I'm really sad about being single, or I'm really sad about my current relationship, or whatever it is. So Megan, how can people reach out to you if they would like to have some help from you? Because somebody's out there, I'm sure, is feeling like I need to talk to this person.
You can just email me at Megan Solis, that's S-O-L-L-I-S, coaching@gmail.com. Or you can reach out on any social media platform, or you can reach out to Trish and she'll send you.
And I'll send you her way. Absolutely. Well, this was super fun. I hope people feel hope in this podcast today. Like, I hope that they hear that whatever God has given you, that it's going to be a little hard and it's going to be a little beautiful, and that that is consistent in the human experience, and that you don't have to wait for that one thing in your life to be different for you to live a big, beautiful life. That's just you waiting for the permission to give yourself to do so. That's all. That's the only thing you're waiting on. But all right, Meg, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, sis. Happy birthday tomorrow. Love
Thank you. All right, everybody. Have a great day. Have a great day. Have a great day. We'll see you next time. Have you been listening to the podcast for a while and you're thinking, I just wish I could get Trish's help? This is how you do that. You come join my online coaching program, Breathe. It's a monthly membership. You come and you join and you stay for as long as it's helpful. While you're there, you have access to me to schedule a coaching call. You can have one coaching call on my calendar at all times. So if you get coached 1 week and you feel like you need help the next week, you can schedule another call. It has a whole library of other coach calls from other Breathe members. So if you never want to be coached by me, but you want to listen to other people be coached, I'm telling you, it's just as helpful. You have access to that as well. You have access to all of my programs. I have a 30 days to plant-based eating without dieting. I teach you how to incorporate more plants in your life without the dieting mindset. You have that available in Breathe. You also have the other courses that I've created that when you sign up in my group coaching programs, you have access to those, but those are available to my Breathe members. So if you want to join Breathe from now until the first of the year, you can join Breathe free for 2 weeks. I've only ever done this one other time, and it's when I launched my program, but I'm going to bring that back because I think when we start a new year, it's exciting to feel like we're going to kind of have a reset, and having the support that you get in Breathe will really bless your life. So come and join us. The other thing is, have you joined my free Facebook group? I have a Facebook group that I share the podcast there, and I also share some things I make and I eat. And sometimes if I offer a freebie, I offer it there first. So make sure you join that. Also, are you following me on social media? Are you following me on Instagram? I give lots of encouragement on Instagram, so come join me there too. All right, if you love the podcast, make sure you leave a review. I would love to hear your thoughts, and I read every single one of them. So leave a review for me. That is how other people find the podcast, so it's super helpful if you'll do that. All right, thanks for listening. I'm so glad you're here.